In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's Devin Duvernay. Looks for a block. Oh, big run! Duvernay, look at this! Across the 50, and a huge return for Devin Duvernay. The all-pro returner delivers in the clutch moment. 57-yard return.
Catches the ball all the way to the left side of the field. Nothing slows him down. They get Walt. And the safety gets kind of kicked out. Wilson does a great job pursuing him, but Duvernay, as he's done for so long, finds the space, never stutters his feet, and then the kicking game, frustrating when you're on the opposite side of it, as you saw for KOC. Huge, huge play.
The Bears are basically 5 yards away from a field goal kick. Cairo Santos' season long is from 54 yards, which he hit today.
That was the call on Fox. Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, and they're right. It just about set up the field goal, the 48-yarder, to win it. As the Bears not only improved to 7-3, they get a divisional win, but they sit atop the NFC North all alone. How about that? November 17th, 2025, and the Bears are atop the NFC North. If you had that, well, then you are a pretty good NFL predictor. I would venture to guess that you lean optimistic as a Bears fan. Judson Richards along with you all the way until 5 a.m. this morning. Phone line is open. Text line is open. 312-644-6767. What is your reaction to where the Bears stand right now? Have you had to recalibrate your expectations for this team? Also, we'll get to this coming up at 1:30. What do you make of this Iceman nickname for Caleb Williams? We in, we out on this. We'll talk about it coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Also a reminder, tonight the Bulls take on those Nuggets in Denver. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:45, tip-off at 8 o'clock on The Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network powered by Helly Forklifts. Quentin, we'll get to your call in just a moment. If you had that thought, man, the Vikings may have scored too soon. There was no better sign that a team may have scored too soon when they were kicking the ball off and they had this view from like behind Devin Duvernay, and you could see on the video board that J.J. McCarthy was still hugging and celebrating with his teammates, and then he just about housed it. And so you just sensed it's like, I don't know if Bears fans now feel like they're going to win these games because you've seen so many come from behind victories and the Bears are winning in one score games. I felt good about it. I felt utter devastation that they ever trailed in that game. Like, the Vikings offensively looked so bad that you never should have been in that spot. If the Bears had one better moment in the red zone throughout the game, it shouldn't have ever really been a game. But I did think that the Bears were going to come back because they left too much time on the clock. They had all their timeouts. And you know what we're really watching is competency. Like you are watching a competent football team. Between the ears is what we're watching. That has to do with Ben Johnson. That has to do with Dennis Allen. That has to do with a player like Kevin Byard. Really, it has to do with someone like Caleb Williams on the offensive side of the ball, an addition of Joe Tooney, Antoine Randall-L, Al Harris, Eric Bieniemy. Like, you're watching competency. And so when a team scores too quickly and you have all your timeouts and you end up with a short field, like, yes, you should win those kinds of games and the Bears improve to 7-3. Quentin is with us on the blue line, who has been patient. Quentin, the floor is yours, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, man. Great win. We just got to clean up the mistakes. We definitely got to clean up the mistakes. Carlos Santos, this guy missed a 45 field goal. I don't know what's wrong with him. He got to get it together. Special teams, we got to fix that. Richard Hightower, he on the thin line. Because, believe me, if we would have screwed that up, I would fire his ass. That's another thing. I'm glad we got the win, 7-3. Let's take momentum at home and kick Pittsburgh's rear end once and for all. I don't care if everybody's playing or not, if it's him, Mason Rudolph, or the water boy. We get 8-3 at home at Soldier Field if you smell what the Chicago Bears is cooking.
Quentin, let me ask you, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers? Like, would you rather risk Aaron Rodgers over Mason Rudolph just to try to beat him one more time at Soldier Field?
Well, I'm going to say this. Aaron Rodgers is I despise Aaron Rodgers. What he did when he was with the Packers saying that he owned the Bears,
yep.
But you're a Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't owe anything. We go to Soldier Field, we smack Aaron Rodgers in the mouth if he's playing or not, or if it's Mason Rudolph or the water boy. All I want is defense, and we got to fix our field goal. So Carlos Santos better get it together. Or if not, then we turn it over to Jake Moody. That's what I'm saying.
Quentin, you have yourself a great day, man.
You too.
All right, Bears. I appreciate it. Go Bears. There's Quentin on the blue line. I'm just looking at Aaron Rodgers' 2025 season, by the way. 9 games, about a 67% completion percentage. He's thrown for 1,853 yards, 18 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Sounds like a Tomlin offense, honestly.
I mean, it's right. Yeah, it's like it's good. You know,
earth shattering.
No,
it's not Josh Allen in quarterback.
It's not 2012 Aaron Rodgers. I was really looking forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers come back and watching the Bears get up for that game, just because of what Quentin just said. Like whether he's wearing a Steelers uniform, a Jets uniform, or a Packers uniform, like. You know, this is the guy that told you that he owned you, and record-wise, he kind of does.
Yeah, he kind of did at the time.
But he's old. He is old. Like, he at times looks 41 going on 51. You know, like, I'm 44. At times I look in the mirror and I'm like, you know, the rest of me looks 44. My eyes may look a little bit older at times. And I look at Aaron's eyes like, whew. Man, that guy looks like he's been road hard, put away wet sometimes.
Don't
you know?
Lie. You can sling the pigskin around here and there. Thanksgiving's coming up. Backyard football right there.
You never know. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be slinging around Soldier Field on Sunday. If you missed it, Aaron Rodgers reportedly has a slight break in his left wrist. So it's not his throwing hand, but it does sound serious enough that with the way Adam Schefter kind of wrote his tweets about it, it sounds like there's a really good chance it will be Mason Rudolph instead of Aaron Rodgers on Sunday against the Bears. So call it a break, if you will. But I also wouldn't mind seeing this Bears defense, who at times will have great moments, right? Like, they're very opportunistic, and they're very good in third down situations. They can also give up some big plays, but we'll see how Tyreek Stevenson is doing. But they definitely need the cavalry to return from the injured players. Right, like Jalen Johnson, you know, Kevin Burkhardt said on the broadcast, like he said it could be a week or two. It's like, so that left it a chance that he could return against the Steelers. It seems fast, and that kind of feels like how we ended up in this situation, that Jalen Johnson returned too quickly. But you'd love to get Kyler Gordon back. You'd love to get T.J. Edwards back. Listen, when Ben Johnson said they could be playing their best football in December, well, I believe it if you're getting those three guys back. Because you could make the case that those three may be the most important for your defense, especially with we know how good Jalen Johnson is as shutdown corner, your most important nickel guy in Kyler Gordon, and then TJ Edwards, who has been exceptional when he's been able to be on the field and how good he was last year defensively for the Bears. The last time the Bears were 7-3 was 2018. And there are some things that are really, really similar to that Bears team, and then things that are drastically different that should make you feel better about this Bears team being 7-3. Now, what they had in common is they both had first-year head coaches, right? Matt Nagy, Ben Johnson. They both had second-year quarterbacks in Mitch Trubisky, Caleb Williams. The biggest difference is that team was awesome defensively. Right? They were third in overall defense, and we know why in the trade for Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack was your runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year in 2018. But the big difference, well, first of all, this team is not great defensively, the 2025 team. But that 2018 team really paid for being as good as they were defensively. Like, there was an incredible cost at the 12-4 record they accumulated in getting to the playoffs in 2018. Not only making Khalil Mack the highest paid defensive player in NFL history for the trade with the Raiders, but they also gave up two first round picks. So you were leveraging the future to land Khalil Mack, and that is a heavy price to pay. Now, you may celebrate your GM at the time, and I think that Ryan Pace probably was celebrated because you felt like, quote unquote, it worked. It worked. They're 12-4, and they can build off of this experience. Something I said an hour ago, looking at this Bears team and hoping to play meaningful games in December. But the difference is they leverage the future for that. The Bears have all of their first-round picks moving forward. And oh, by the way, I feel vastly more confident in Caleb Williams moving forward than what we saw in Mitch Trubisky, right? Like, Matt Nagy was already kind of cutting off half the field for Trubisky reads. And that team, they were 21st in overall defense, 21st in passing yards, and they were 9th in points per game, okay? So that's not terrible, but I think we can all agree that we have more confidence in the play caller. I shouldn't say everyone out there, but at least I do. Ben Johnson versus Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy did not call plays. That was all Andy Reid. And in the quarterback, Caleb Williams versus Mitch Trubisky. But I also say one thing that Ben Johnson, we're going to get a good read of how well he can draft to his system. Because Ben is just getting started in this organization. But at least he has all of his first-round picks to go ahead and do it. The 2018 team was spending the future to get to 12-4. This Bears team, I don't like to call it house money, right? I mean, this is a billion-dollar organization. You like to think that each and every year they're going to compete. But did you expect 7-3? I'll be honest, I thought this would be an 8-win team. Why? Because of the division that they play in. But the NFC North has taken a step back. We saw one of the major reasons why with J.J. McCarthy on Sunday. There's a lot of questions about who he's going to become. And I'll be honest, it's somewhat playing out that the Bears have had success in not only getting better with Ben Johnson, but taking away from the Detroit Lions. Because if you missed it, Dan Campbell took away the play calling from John Morton, their newly hired offensive coordinator. And Dan Campbell, as a play caller, did not have a good day against the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. So the division does not look anywhere near the juggernaut that it was. And you have not leveraged the future to have success like the Bears did to land Khalil Mack, which worked in 2018. But then they were 8-8 the following season. In fact, the last two times The Bears were 7-3, 10 games into a season. If you go all the way back to 2012 under Lovey, that team was 7-3. They finished the year 10-6. The following year, they were 8-8. 2018, they were 7-3, finished 12-4. The following year, they were 8-8. What does that tell you? It's challenging to win consecutive years and to keep it going.
And that 10-6 team missed the playoffs by like a half a game or something like that. Just like a weird tiebreaker.
Yep. And that was it for Lovey, that 2012 season. All right, let's go to Minnesota now. One of my absolute favorites to talk to. Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times on the beat of the Bears does an incredible job. Patrick, this is what you do, right? You find the stories. For you, what was the biggest storyline coming out of the Bears' win against the Minnesota Vikings?
They found another increasingly ridiculous way to win at the end. And this time they gave us a version that we hadn't seen before, which was a long kick return that turned into a Cairo Santos field goal to win it. Devin Duvernay's kick return was so good, in fact, that the Bears were probably going to try a field goal, even if they had gained no offensive yards from that point. It would have been about a 60-yarder, and Cairo Santos thought he was good for 61. So that was, for me, the headline. The secondary note there is, of course, the Bears put themselves in the situation in the fourth quarter the same way they seem to be doing, dating to the start of the season.
I thought the head coach had a much better day than the offensive play caller, right? Like Ben Johnson improves to 7-3, which is really, really impressive from where the Bears have been, even in the last decade plus. But from a play calling standpoint, he didn't look in rhythm. Caleb wasn't necessarily in rhythm. The offense definitely wasn't in rhythm.
Yeah, and you know, some of that is Brian Flores too. And
true.
I'm sure Ben will tell us on Monday that, you know, when you're facing Flores' defense, there's kind of only so much you can do. But yeah, it never felt good, did it? You know, in the first quarter, you've got Caleb throwing 50-yard passes on third down that fall incomplete, you know, in two separate drives. You have, for some reason, a handoff to Travis Homer, who hadn't taken the ball all year on a third down play. Just a lot of really kind of bizarre stuff. But, you know, I'll tell you what, the run game was there when they needed it again. And, you know, I feel like this slips through the cracks even in some of my own writing, which is, you know, go to the Commanders game at the end. Go to this game at the end. And, you know, the most important plays made on offense are handoffs to DeAndre Swift. And that's something I think the Bears can rely on. I mean, even there at the end, you know, they've got, you know, third and nine, you know, or third and eight, and they hand the ball off to Swift and get seven. Like, if he gets three, that's a very different kick for Cairo Santos. So I think you're right. I think the head coach is going to have a conversation with his play caller at some point this week. But whoever's in charge of the run game, I think, still gets his weekly bonus.
You know, and it's nice to see an investment pay off, right? They went and purchased the interior of that offensive line from left guard to center to right guard. And I think you really watch it along with Darnell Wright, who's having a very, very good season. But it looks like that part of the run game, the money that they spent, is one of the reasons why they are where they are.
Yeah, and they've been healthy, too. You know, you saw Theo Benedict leave the game, I think, today for one whole play and then come back. But I believe the Bears have had their starting five intact for the last six starts. Something like that. That's something that literally never happened to Matt Eberflus. So, you know, they're paying top dollar, especially for that center and two guards. But the fact that they're all posting and that they're all staying healthy is a really, really important thing. I mean, really good teams typically have an offensive line that stays healthy and plays together. And, you know, that's what we're doing now. And also, like, let's call it what it is. Like, the decision to promote Theo Benedict, you know, in Braxton Jones's spot is a bold and not something that is easily defensible in the moment. And, you know, Theo is a really good run blocker. And I think you can see just a little bit of the nastiness that the Bears were missing Theo brought to them when he stepped in as the starter at left tackle.
He is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Judson Richards along with you on 6-7 The Score. Patrick there in Minnesota. Patrick, let's take the 30,000-foot view from Caleb Williams, the season that he's having. We all know what happened on Sunday. Wasn't pretty, but again, he also does some pretty miraculous things to stay away from a sack, may help you stay in field goal range, especially if they're not great in the red zone. You're going to need those 3 points. But what do you make of the season that Caleb Williams is having at this point, 10 games in?
Pretty good. I think that it's easy to sit there and get frustrated if he doesn't get better every single week. When I think we all know intellectually, but that's just kind of not how it works.
Right.
Like, you know, he makes a leap and then he'll plateau, and then maybe he has a bad game and then he'll make a leap again. You know, this is a guy who, at least entering today's game, was on pace to be the single season passing leader in the history of the franchise. This is a guy who, entering today's game, had won twice as many games as he'd lost. And this is a guy who, when it mattered, put the team on his back. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times in all the 13 years I've covered this team that you write about some young guy having to learn how to win and all of this, you know, cliche sports stuff. You know, Caleb Williams, it might not always be pretty, but it seems like he knows how to win.
Yep.
And that is just so different than what we're used to. And then another thing, too, you know, I was talking to somebody in the press box tonight, and you could argue, especially, well, we were talking when Jordan Love left the game in Green Bay, but you're sitting there wondering, what's the last time the Bears had maybe the second best quarterback in the NFC North? Like, I don't know, like Jay Cutler, maybe in an Aaron Rodgers year, maybe once. Like there's a pretty distinct advantage there when Caleb's playing well. And, you know, look no further than what we saw in J.J. McCarthy today. He, in only his fifth game, you know, we can't judge him long-term in his, you know, when he's played five games. But boy, you saw today what happens when you have a roster that's ready to win and a guy playing quarterback who just can't make it work. And, you know, we saw a lot of that last year with Caleb, honestly. Like, some of this reminds me, you know, you have Justin Jefferson talk about being frustrated after the game. Is that any different than DJ Moore talking about being frustrated last year? Like,
yep.
There are some parallels to the Bears last season. But, man, if I was a Vikings fan and you had Sam Darnold on your roster last year and you decided to let him go and take a chance on this quarterback who, you know, I think it's pretty apparent halfway through the season that J.J. McCarthy, you may not know by the end of the year whether J.J. McCarthy's a keeper or not. And that's the end of his, you know, second NFL season. And boy, that's, you know, you start to wonder at that point.
You know, Patrick, you and I watch the game through very different lenses. Me very much through the Fox lens. And I'll give him credit. I thought Tom Brady sounded much better than he has. Like, he's a guy that has worked into the job. I think he knows J.J. McCarthy pretty well because of the Michigan ties. But he sounded good with Kevin Burkhardt. I thought he was good today. And it was interesting watching Tom Brady, who, because there's been so much talk about the body language of Caleb Williams, and Ben Johnson wanted to improve it. I would hope guys that had the season last year would show some bad body language with how miserable that season was. But, you know, Tom Brady is the guy that I saw scream at Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator. And they caught Caleb Williams a couple times really getting on his teammates. And Tom Rinaldi did a piece on it during the game about he was the word chirping, and Caleb Williams was chirping at his offense on the sideline. And that's something that I've been watching for, like, because Caleb is a smiley guy, he's an affable guy, but I want a little bit more of Ben Johnson's edge in Caleb Williams, because ultimately he is Ben Johnson on the field in the huddle, right? Like, they need to see it the same way, he needs to understand it. And I felt like today, or yesterday, I felt like the numbers didn't portray it, but I felt like there was some real leadership, and it wasn't smiley, it wasn't pat you on the back. I felt like Caleb was like, this is where we need to be, and this is what we need to do, and it wasn't just coming from the head coach.
You know, I felt that in the post-game press conference, believe it or not. And, you know, most of these post-game press conferences, you know, it's, you know, especially when the quarterback talks a half hour after the game ends, everybody's kind of calmed down, and, you know, it's a fairly, you know, fairly boilerplate stuff. But, you know, Caleb said over and over again today, said, we have the guys. We have the guys. We have the guys. And he also said, you know, we haven't begun to scratch the surface of this offense. You know, we talk about Luther Burden and about how, you know, last week when, you know, when there was a got to have it play, they threw it to Luther Burden and it was great. And about how, you know, years from now, you know, he and Luther will have grown together in a way that's going to be really special. And right now they got to figure it out. There was an intensity to him today post-game that was a little different than I'm used to. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of fun, and you've seen it in some of these wins, is, you know, you walk into a locker room and you can tell when a locker room is thrilled that they've won.
Yep.
Or when they're happy that they've won and know that they can't keep getting away with this very long. And I think we're entering month two of, you know, happy to win but not satisfied. And I think that's a really good sign. You know, Kevin Byard said today, you know, that somebody had asked him, you know, whether they could keep playing like this and beat better teams. And he goes, I hope we never find out. Like, I hope we get it fixed. And I think that's a really healthy attitude to have. And, you know, I think that there were times, I mean, Caleb Williams went 2.5 months without winning a game last year. And I'm sure in the moment, had they won a game, he would have gone to the podium and been like, yeah, man, winning's awesome. Yeah, let's go. And now I think that they're spoiled in a good way, in the sense that, you know, a win is a win and everybody's happy about it, but they're not going to go up and do backflips and, you know, kind of until they think they played really well. And I'm not sure there's a single game this year where they could sit there and tell you that they played as well as they had hoped to play and still won the game.
Yeah, that edge that you talk about with Caleb Williams, I think that is Ben Johnson raising the standard, and then Caleb Williams understanding, feeling that standard, and then really, really applying it in what you heard from him. Because Ben, certainly, he lacks some of that chutzpah of the good, better, best speech, right? Like, it's been so good. It's been so great on social media. It's kind of like how we spend our Sunday nights and our Mondays recently in Chicago. But this one, I was like, yeah, he's not feeling great about the way that this one went, because they almost let it get away. And even though the Bears didn't play great, the Vikings played much worse than they did over four quarters, and they found themselves trailing yet again with the final 2 minutes to go. Patrick, let me ask you defensively a little bit. What did you make of where the Bears are now defensively, and how badly do they need Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards, and Jalen Johnson to make their way back, and when could we see those guys?
Well, first of all, I thought this is probably the worst quarterback play that they're going to face all year. And you know, it's
in
to their
steps
credit,
Mason Rudolph.
I was just going to say that. And, you know, to their credit, like, you know, I'm sure at some point, you know, J.J. McCarthy sailing guys isn't just because J.J. McCarthy's being inaccurate. You know, there's some things that the Bears are doing. The drops the Vikings had reminded me of the Bears last week. Like, it was remarkable.
Yeah.
I think that what's exciting about this defense is, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, you'd sit there and say, what is the path to this defense getting better? And you'd sit there and go, Shamar Turner, second round pick, he seems to be coming on. Guess what? He gets hurt out of the air. Sit there and go, Dio Odengbo, you know, once they can move him inside, he can rush the passer from the inside, and that'll be a lot more like what they wanted. He gets hurt out of the air. And, you know, and there's a moment maybe 2 weeks ago where you're sitting there going, I don't see a path for this defense to do anything other than what they've been doing, which is being a defense that it felt like sometimes they were getting very lucky to get some of these takeaways. But now you're sitting there and, you know, I don't think it'll be this week, maybe next week. But, you know, you've got the Packers the first week of December. And, boy, if you can have Jalen, TJ, and Kyler kind of right around that time, I mean, those are, you know, maybe your three best defensive players stepping in kind of for the stretch run there. I think that is very exciting. I don't think Jalen's going to play this upcoming week. I just think it's too soon. But, you know, Black Friday, yeah, maybe. That'd be dramatic, wouldn't it? And the Bears, you know, all the Bears can do is beat the guys on their schedule here. But, boy, that schedule's really, really broken in their favor. You know, whether it's, missing Lamar Jackson, missing Joe Burrow, now you might miss Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, if you can get by with the guys you've got, you know, it could be really exciting to see, you know, what they can do against Jordan Love twice, you know, against Brock Purdy, you know, and, you know, this, you know, schedule they have in December that's really going to test them. If you've got, you know, these three guys back, you know, maybe you got a fighting chance.
Yeah, Patrick, speaking of how bad J.J. McCarthy was on Sunday, you know the term medicine ball where –
A hospital ball.
Thank you. A hospital ball where they end up needing medicine and ending up in the hospital. Yeah. He threw a hospital ball to the Bears where it was up in the air for so long that, like, Jaquan Brisker took out Tyreek Stevenson, right? And do we know the word on Tyreek, how he's doing?
He talked after the game.
Okay.
Well, it's funny. He came back and he played one play. And he checked in for the first play of a drive.
Tried it.
And literally just raised his hand and walked off. Talked after the game. Didn't make it sound too incredibly serious. One of the things that I found a little disturbing was, you know, he said that he's still trying to piece together exactly what happened, which is never a good sign.
That's how bad JJ was.
You know, and Brisker had said, too, that, you know, that this happens in practice. Sometimes you just run into your own guys when you're going to pick the ball off. But there was a moment when that ball was in the air. You know, in real time, you're sitting there going, oh, that's an interception. You know, and as the game then went the way it went, I was thinking back to, you know, the Tremaine Edmonds, 6-yard touchdown in Cleveland. Or, I'm sorry, in Cincinnati. When you're sitting there going, oh, this 21-point game, this thing's over. And then it comes back, and then all of a sudden the Bears are in trouble again. I thought that that had all the makings of being that moment where things went sideways kind of from that point on. And it didn't, you know, having Tyreek is really important for them, if for no other reason, but they just can't afford to lose another guy. And, you know, there are some measurements that think, you know, there's some stats that consider Tyreek one of the best corners in football. There are others that think he's, you know, kind of middle of the road. I mean, I would argue to you that right now it doesn't matter. I think the difference between Tyreek and the next man up is pretty huge, and that they can't afford to lose him.
Patrick, 60 seconds. Would you want that Viking stadium in Arlington Heights?
Oh, my God, yeah. It's my favorite stadium in the world. And, you know, this is
the
where
world?
I say, you know, it's my favorite NFL stadium in the world. Lambeau Field is great, and I would argue to you, if we're going to talk about stadiums, whether it's baseball, football, or whatever, we should have different categories for the old-timey ones. Dodger Stadium and Wrigley Field should be their own. It should be their own things, and Fenway should be their own things, and then everything else should be discussion. But in terms of new stadiums, U.S. Bank is my favorite by far. It feels like you're outdoors because of the light that comes in through the ceiling. It is beautiful. It is well appointed. Just the artwork there is just stupid great. And, you know, they have all these little dumb traditions that really make it fun to go to games, whether it's the Galler horn or the giant drum and then doing the skull chant. And along those lines, I don't know whether you saw this, but Cairo Santos in the locker room today when he got a game ball did the gritty. You're familiar with the gritty?
I am.
Did the gritty while doing the skull chant with his arms.
Oh, I did not pick up on that. That's right, he did.
Yes, yeah, so a shout out to U.S. Bank Stadium from Cairo, and yeah, if they built a stadium that was 75% of U.S. Bank Stadium, I'd be thrilled. That's how much I like the place.
Patrick, you are the man. Patrick Finley, the Chicago Sun Times. Follow him, read his work. My favorite Bears coverage. Thank you, Patrick.
Hey, anytime.
Enjoy that conversation with Patrick. And just looking at the standings now, I mean, it's really a work of art. The NFC North, standing alone. Yeah, sure. Yeah, there was a little company last week, the Detroit Lions. But with the Philadelphia Eagles winning 16-9, that's all, you know, that's all that the offense, that powerful offense that managed 33 points a game for 3 years under Ben Johnson, loses 16-9 to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bears are going to have their shot to face off against the Eagles. We'll see what that looks like in a couple of weeks. They've got the Steelers up next. But as of now, the Bears 7-3. After a 19-17 win over the Vikings, that is atop the NFC North all alone. Green Bay Packers 6-3-1. Real sister kisser with that one tie. The Detroit Lions 6-4. And the Minnesota Vikings fall to 4-6. With that win by the Bears. Coming up next, Nashawn Wright played with a heavy heart after the tragic loss of a coach of his. More on that coming up next. Judson Richards with you on a Victory Monday, listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips on 670.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Score.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
McCarthy going deep. For it all. End zone. Intercepted. Nashawn Wright, who had a pick six against McCarthy in week one with a terrific pick.
Ray Renford all in one play, and from up here it looked like a decent throw, but the length and the size of Nashawn Wright going up over Addison just covers him up so easily. What a high point.
Wow.
You don't see that from defensive backs much, going up over the top and making those plays. McCarthy wasn't expecting it. Frustrating to move all the way down into scoring range and then giving it up.
You know why Nashawn Wright's able to do that? It's because he's 6'4". Two interceptions by the Bears today. Kevin Byard with his fifth, that I believe is the best in the NFL. Wright had one as well. The Bears, they are the best in the NFL as of now with takeaways, averaging 2.2 a game. That is atop the list. And listen, if you can't stop people at times, it feels like the Bears can't. You got to take the ball away. You got to be good on third down. And a major reason why the Bears get the win over the Vikings on Sunday. Judson Richards along with you until 5 o'clock this morning. Again, the Bears improved to 7-3 on the year. We are 10 days away from Thanksgiving, and the Bears are atop the NFC North. Who had that at the start of the season? If you did, you are a very, very optimistic Bears fan, but you also would have been right. The Bears at 7-3. Again, a busy, busy day coming up on the Score today and this afternoon. But let's tell you about Mullion Hawk coming up. Olin Krutz, the great Bears former center, will join them at 7 o'clock. Brad Biggs at 8 o'clock. And then Clay Harbor at 9 o'clock. Raheemy Harrison Grody coming your way midday. Anthony Heron will join them at 11 o'clock. Dan Weeder at 1 o'clock. And then Spiegel and Holmes in your afternoon. The Hall of Famer Kurt Warner at 3. Adam Hoge will join them coming up at 5:25. It is a victory Monday, a Bears Monday, your first place Bears. As again, the takeaways have been one of the big, big reasons why the Bears find themselves atop the NFC North. You want to jump in, 312-644-6767. A couple topics we've had for you this morning. Have you had to recalculate your expectations for the Bears of where you thought they were going to be? And now where you think they should ultimately and can ultimately go at 7-3. Also, we're talking franchises, franchise quarterbacks. How confident are you that Caleb Williams is the guy as the franchise QB? 312-644-6767. That is to call and that is to text. By the way, the nickname that is going around, and maybe you can help me out on the text line. I've been trying to figure out where the nickname Iceman came from for Caleb Williams. Where did it start? Where was it initiated? We know he has ice in his veins. You don't immediately say ice in the veins and then nickname someone Iceman. If you know where it came from, text me, 312-644-6767. And do you like it? We'll talk about that in just a moment. On a more serious note, you may have seen, for the sports fans out there, by the way, you may have seen the Netflix show where they go to junior colleges and do a documentary on football programs. I've watched a number of these, and I did watch the one on Laney College. I didn't watch all of it, but I was very curious to see what Oakland, California junior college football looked like. And the head coach at Laney College had been there for decades as a man by the name of John Beam. John Beam was shot and killed on that college campus this past week. And from what I read, he'd been coaching the youth and college in Oakland for 45 years. And Oakland has got some pretty bad parts to that area, and they need great coaches, and John Beam was one of them. I did not know that he coached Nashon Wright, and Wright went to Laney College, and they, in fact, were very, very close. And here's what Wright said. By the way, if you watch the game, there was a really great moment in the embrace between Wright and his coach, Al Harris, on the sideline after that interception. I did not know there was more to just the celebration of a great play and an important moment to help the Bears win a game. Here's Wright at his locker room afterwards.
He meant the world to me. When my dad was killed, he came to my house and got me out the bed. And someone I can confide in, someone that I love dearly. We talk once a week easily. Really at loss for words.
When did your father pass?
My dad was killed in 2017. Beam stepped in as a father figure, a father role. He did a lot for me and my brother, my family. He's been there every step of the way, and it won't stop. I gained the angel, so for sure.
So tragic news of the passing of John Beam, and an impressive performance by Nashon Wright, playing with a heavy heart and certainly honoring his late head coach with the performance he gave the Bears on Sunday. Now to the quarterback, Caleb Williams. The Fox pregame show did a big piece on him. They did a feature, if you will, and a number of parts to it. And I want to get your reaction, what you heard from Caleb Williams, and then this nickname on Caleb as well. First, let's begin with the perception that Caleb and the Bears cannot close out games.
Yeah, everything hasn't been roses and rainbows and, you know, ice cream so far, but there isn't any other place that I'd rather be in.
How are you? Good, you?
Wonderful. And any other thing that I'd rather go through than what I've gone through so far in my career in the NFL. Yeah, I think the perception has been, you know, you can't get it done.
Bad coach.
We can't get it done.
Constant flux, power struggle.
What's been broken for so long?
You know, here we go again.
With 150 you can't get it done. Season, it's not perfect.
I think in those final moments, when it's time to go win the game, I think those moments, I think we've been good at. That's what the NFL is. You know, you got to find a way to win. Games are, you know, won and lost in those last 2 minutes.
You know, that's such a funny question, because last year, that 10-game losing streak, five of those 10 were single or one-score games. This year, all they do is win close games in the final minutes. Like, if there's one thing that you may feel confident in this team is if it's close in the end, yeah, they may figure it out. By the way, that quote that Caleb, where he mentioned the ice cream, Rocky 6, I'm actually an enormous fan of the Rockies, but one of the best speeches, it's the worst of all of them. I actually love Rocky V, if I'm being honest.
Oh, that's the worst of all of them.
You bite your tongue, Grant.
Rocky V.
Yeah.
You put Rocky VI over Rocky V? Rocky V over Rocky VI, sorry.
I thought Tommy Gunn was tremendous.
His performance is good, but the movie in general, we'll get into it later.
But the quote in itself, the scene where Rocky delivers the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life, but ain't how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can hit and keep moving forward. That's maybe Ben Johnson should adopt that speech as well. But yeah, it's one of the areas where you would not doubt this team. Like, you may doubt Caleb Williams' completion percentage, which I believe has now come underneath 61%, although number of drops we've seen the last couple of weeks. Or you may doubt this team's ability to stop the pass. And at one point, you had Nick McLeod out there because Tyreek Stevenson went down. It's like, gosh, how beat up is this defense going to get? But late game heroics is one thing that this team has got dialed. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be credited with a game-winning drive yesterday, his fifth of the season. They had a 52-yard kickoff return and then ran the ball to set up a field goal, but give Caleb number five. That's how good the season is going. But he does ultimately have ice in his veins. Back to this amazing feature they did on Caleb. He said he says he wants a legacy they can talk about forever here.
It's pure. It's something that has been building up over my career, but definitely over this past year and a half with these guys. That's what it is. It's pure heart, pure soul of fire coming out. But I got enough fuel, enough energy. Enough belief. Belief in the players, belief in the coaches. Last year wasn't what I wanted to be. Beat up, lost a lot of games. But when you have that belief, it goes a long way. I cherish those moments now. The 5-12 season that I had last year. All the naysayers.
He's got ice in his veins. Greatness. If you don't believe it now, you just wait, man. The best is yet to come, 18. Here we go.
I want to show Chicago that I'm, the one to be here, be a part of changing and be a part of history and have a legacy here that people talk about forever.
You know, the thing about Caleb and legacy and all these things is I still wonder, like, how much of Chicago, how many Bears fans are still ultimately on the fence on Caleb Williams? Because I do think that there are a lot of people that are on the fence and are still waiting to see more, or want to see, I don't know if it's greatness, but just, they want to see that offense operated to a tune of maybe what you saw in Detroit at 33 points a game, right? Like, maybe that's where we've set the bar with what the head coach was accomplishing in Detroit with Jared Goff, where now you've got your number one overall pick. He's supposed to be this transcendent talent. Why are they not averaging 33 points a game? Where I'm coming from is, with Caleb, am doing more of the eye test than the numbers in itself. If you didn't watch a Bears game and you just looked at the stats on Caleb, you'd probably think he's not having a very good season despite being 7-3. He's not throwing for a ton of touchdowns, right? I think he might be 13th in yards across all starting quarterbacks. The completion percentage is maybe in the 20s. Around the NFL. But if you're watching the games and just allowing your eyes to tell you what you're seeing for someone who is growing at the position.
Caleb is 12th in the league in passing.
Passing yards, right? Yeah, so he's 12th,
passing,
right?
Yards.
Right, so the thing about being a number one overall pick, it doesn't mean that the job is easy. Right, it means that you have a skill set that projects to be better than most, but it doesn't mean you immediately land with a Sean McVay or you land with a Kyle Shanahan and things are perfect immediately. Luckily for Caleb, he was able to get to one of those types by year two, and they are figuring it out. So the offense is figuring it out. This is one thing we have to keep in mind. It's not just Caleb learning the offense. Colston Loveland is learning how to become an NFL player and getting better. Same with Luther Burden. So this is a team that is growing, and I will not decide that what he's doing isn't good enough because I can see the progress that is being made. And then you can see that he is ultimately, in my eyes, he's a winner. And a winner, it isn't just solely about championships. A winner is someone who can handle pressure and give you a great chance to win. Can they be calm, cool, and collected? And can they be this nickname that I'm now learning about, Iceman?
I get up every single day to come in here and work for my teammates, work for the Chicago Bears, to be able to come out in these games and come out victorious and have those moments with these guys.
Let's go!
But, you know, got to keep that going.
The Superman version of Caleb Williams.
Iceman.
It's Mr. Iceman.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. It's a cool name. It's interesting, to be honest. When you think of ice, ice is still. Ice looks calm.
Here's the snap and play fake. Williams rolling to his left, running
down. But underneath is pure energy. And that's the same mindset I have. You know, in those moments, I feel at my calmest on the outside. But there is a lot going on inside.
So he's Iceman now. I have learned this from this feature that he's nicknamed Iceman. I saw like someone screenshot on Instagram that Luther Burden commented about Caleb Williams, and he just said Iceman in a comment on Instagram. Do we like this nickname? Because listen, I'm 44 years old. When I hear Iceman, I think of Tom Kazanski, a.k.a. Val Kilmer in Top Gun. That's my Iceman.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Ice man.
I mean, that's...
I am dangerous.
He is dangerous,
although that was Iceman telling Tom Cruise that he was a dangerous one. It would be better if the conversation was flipped. But I don't know, Chicago, you tell me in the text line, 312-644-6767. Are we good on Iceman? I like is I almost find it cooler that we just know who we're talking about with one name, right? If I just say Caleb, you know, do you think Caleb is a franchise quarterback? You're not going, Caleb who? Who are you talking about? Like, we know him as Caleb. I feel a little bit like the league knows him as Caleb. He's got one name. And then I was thinking about other quarterbacks. Like, do we do a ton of nicknames these days? Like,
I mean, you say Lamar, everybody knows who you're talking about. You say Patrick, everybody knows who you're talking about. I don't know if it's the same with like Justin or Josh.
They're too general. Yeah,
but the Lamar one and the Patrick one is definitely for sure. You say the first name, you know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Although Mahomes, I think Mahomes is more referred to as his last name, but it's still just one name.
Yeah.
But I don't think Iceman has staying power. If I'm being honest, I think it's kind of corny.
I mean, they did Matty Ice back in the day, and then Joe Cool. Those are the two icy type nicknames.
Matty Ice, I kind of dug. Yeah, yeah. Matty Ice wasn't bad. I think Caleb will be Caleb.
Caleb Cool.
Yeah. If Caleb, just Caleb. But you know, it feels like you're trying too hard. You know who didn't try hard was Tom Kazanski.
He did not try too hard.
He did not. The late, great Val Kilmer. He was Ice Man. What a great man. What a great role, Tom Kazanski. And I'm glad he and Tom Cruise were able to sort out their issues in the end. Do you like Ice Man, or do you have a better nickname out there for Caleb Williams, a.k.a. Caleb, a.k.a. the quarterback of the best team in the NFC North, the 7-3 Chicago Bears? That is what we are discussing. Have you recalibrated how good you think this team can be? Maybe you knew it all along. What has impressed you most about what Ben Johnson has done in his first year as the Bears head coach? We also will drop in on the Bears postgame show. Mully, Olin Kruetz, Patrick Manley, what did they think of this Chicago Bears victory? What do they think of this season that the 7-3 Bears are having? We'll dive into that coming up next on 670 The Score.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.